today on Anchored in the Word.
Those of you that have been Christians for any time, any point of time, would say, I know that we can say nobody's perfect, right? There aren't perfect Christians. I want to ask you an honest question. Are you doing less evil today than you did when you first came to Christ or before you came to Christ? Yeah, you better say, wait, less evil. Okay, yeah, seems to his like this. Okay, easy. All right. Just want to make sure I framed that question. Yeah. We're doing less evil than we were before. Why is that? Because we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds.
When I'm anchored deep in your clean love, I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Have you ever felt as though the process of your sanctification has plateaued or grinded to a halt? While it's good to desire perfection, it's important to remember that none of us will be perfect on this side of eternity. In today's message, you'll learn from Pastor Bill that the best way you can aid the Spirit in your sanctification is by renewing your mind with the Word of God. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill in Acts chapter 12 with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
I didn't really like black eyed peas when I first had them. It was an acquired taste. And how did you get to like black eyed peas? I ate them. And then I started liking them. And now I can't get enough of them. So if you invite me over your house, not for me, this is another guy talking, have black-eyed peas. But it makes the point. It's an acquired taste. But I got to tell you, the part that I remember that really got me was when God spoke to me in the Word. You see, it's not like reading a book. I mean, I'd read books up to that time, and I'd even read some of the Bible. I think, I had. But it was just like reading about a bunch of people that, you know, happened long ago and far away. But what got me was when it jumped off the page, you know, I don't know how to describe this, but when I realized it wasn't just I was reading the book, God was speaking to me. Man, I was hooked. Somewhere along the line, the black eyed peas did that to that guy, but with God's word, I was hooked. Thought, man, I've experienced a lot of things in life that were pleasurable up until that point. A lot of things. But I said, there's nothing that touches that. There's nothing that touches that. When God speaks to you and you realize that the King of the universe has spoken, you realize it can't be a coincidence. No, it's not. It's not. And you realize, wow, it's astonishing. When the God of the universe, and he loves us and he delights in that. But this idea of his word, it speaks into our lives. And there have been people that have been trying to get rid of God's word. There's a battle going on right now. The battle is old. It's been around for a long time. It's trying to get rid of God. You know, we got to get rid of God. The culture is saying that. You know, you can't pray. You can't pray here and you can't pray there. Nobody's stopped. You know, I haven't heard anybody say, excuse me. Do you know what prayer is? What's prayer? Can we talk about what prayer is? If we're so mad about it and we want to get rid of it, let's talk about what it is. I haven't heard that argument yet. You know, it's just like they get mad at, no, we're not getting rid of prayer. Well, let's talk about what it is. It's basically communicating with our Creator, like it says in our documents. We've been made in His image, right? We've been given these, what is it, unalienable rights by our Creator. So we're kind of talking to this one that gave us our rights. What's wrong with that? You know, is that okay? You see what I'm getting at? Well, let's talk about this. Let's not get all worked up over the word prayer, and it seems religious if we get to prayer thing. Well, we're just talking to our Creator. Can't we do that? I mean, shouldn't we do that? There is no Creator. Well, we got a problem then with this country. Then we got a problem because some of our documents say that there is one. We need to change that then, don't we? That's the case. Either change that or let's say it's okay to talk to him and to have him talk to us. Because that's what prayer is. Now, but his word, I'm on safe grounds, even in my prayer time when I have his word, because he'll speak most of the time, 99, you know, it's a still small voice happens sometimes, but 99.9% of the time for me, he speaks through this book. Maybe not that. I don't know what the odds are. You know how that works, right? How do you figure out 99.1? Come on, that's... Anyway, this idea of God's word, he uses his word to change me because he transforms my life. I want to ask you a question. Those of you that have been Christians for any time, any point in time, let's say, I know that we can say nobody's perfect, right? There aren't perfect Christians. I want to ask you an honest question. Are you doing less evil today than you did when you first came to Christ or before you came to Christ? Yeah, you better say, wait, less evil. Okay, yeah, seems to heads like this. Okay, easy. All right. Just want to make sure I framed that question. Yeah. We're doing less evil than we were before. Why is that? Because we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And it's not just that we have these regulations. We got a manual. That's what it is. We got a manual now, so we just needed to be instructed about the things we're doing were wrong. Well, there's a truth to that, but it's more than that. And this is a catchy one. It's not just a manual. It's Emmanuel. That means God with us. Personal. It's not just Emmanuel. It's Emmanuel. He's changing us. Man, his word. But you have to believe this. I was up till 2 in the morning last night. I don't watch my time. You know, I was taking advantage of, well, we you know, sleep an extra hour. And I had started off, you know, I'm studying, right? And then I get this point. I'm looking at point number 2. I said, I'm going to get online. I'm going to look at Jason, Dr. Jason Lyle. I love him. You know, they had a debate on there about, you know, he's talking about the word and just as, and he was talking about the age of the earth and that, you know, you simply start with the Bible. You read Genesis account. You know that account, right? And the first day, in the morning, in the evening, were the first day, the morning, you know, the word yom, and they're discussing. Well, I'm up. I'm serious. I almost watched 4 hours of this online. I was eating it up. I loved it. Right or wrong? And I realized, I'm thinking, oh, well, it's only really one. It's late. 1 o'clock in the morning, right? Well, I hadn't realized that my clock had set itself back. It really was 2 in the morning. You know, because I was playing that game and I somewhere along the line, I got lost and it changed on without me knowing it. But the point is, and I thought, oh man, I'm going to be tired tomorrow. But here's what I would say to you. I've confessed it to the first service. I've confessed it to the second service. But the truth of the matter is I've been up at 2 in the morning before my past life. And talking about the Bible was the last thing I would have been doing. You get what I'm saying? And I see that as the glory of God and the hope that's in him changing a person's life, taking you from what you were and bringing you to where you were. Not what we should be, obviously, but we're not what we used to be, praise the Lord, right? But his word is a huge part of that, you know, believing his word, the word heard and heeded. I first have to believe it. You know, the guy that ran over those people in New York City, he didn't believe this Bible. He had a different belief system. See, he believed, if he's the, I don't know the guy, but I'm just going by the ideology that the jihadists believe in, that I've been told they believe in, is that when they kill people like that, we call them innocents, they don't see it that way. See, they're infidels. They don't know the Lord. They're doing something for God. They're serving God. This is pleasing to God, running over people with it. That sounds ridiculous. I know to anybody that has, you would think, a civil mindset, but that's what they believe. That they're doing God's work. They're serving God by killing people. I know it's ridiculous, but what you believe dictates how you behave. That's important. So the word of God will dictate how you behave. If you choose to believe it. And I, 4 hours, I was trying to, I see, by the way, it's the other side of the thing. There were 2 guys that believed in taking the Bible literally and that creation was 6 days and that there's, you know, 6 literal 24-hour periods. And the other 2 guys didn't believe that. And they went round and round and it was 2 different sessions. And I watched it for 4 hours. And guess what? Nobody changed their mind. So what was the point, right? I mean, that's what I noticed. Took it from nobody changed their mind about it. They still hold on to their same things. But I was at least getting built up like, yeah, I'm not as smart as that other guy. Some of the stuff that he was saying about the universe, you know, we're looking back and we can look back in the universe, you know, with these telescopes that we have now, swallow this one, and we can see all the way to the creation. by looking back with telescopes, I'm thinking, I don't believe that. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. I don't. But he's using words, and I was just trying to hang on. What's he saying? Trying to follow him, and he's using, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not smart enough to have a guy explain to me how the word all works. I just look at it and say, I can read it and say, yeah, look, to me it looks like six literal days, right? I mean, you got to. Anyway, the point is, I got built up like I'm just going to take it at face value, the word. That's my encouragement to you. You don't need, you can look at the word. It's been designed for people just like you to read it and to then understand it, right? So my encouragement is to read it. Acquire a taste for it. If you don't have it, it's also helpful to pray and ask God to give you a taste for black eyed peas, the Bible. God, give me a desire for that. I had this desire for something else, whatever it would be. Just be honest with God. He already knows it. Will you take that away and replace it with the other, the good thing that's going to pay dividends for eternity? This is what Jesus said about his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. There's coming a day when we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth. It's going to pass away. But in that new heavens and a new earth, guess what? The word is still going to stand. Now, Jesus is the word, but it's important. As important as we might think that the earth might be, we've got to save the earth. What about God's word? It's going to stand forever. Jesus said that over and over. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The word is precious, and God is using that to transform us. Think about this. He's changed the evil in you through his word, and now he wants to it to extend out. That's the hope that we have in the battle, folks. Prayer and the word. Those are our weapons, our powerful weapons. We need to use them in the battle that we're in. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. We need to use spiritual weapons. Those two, prayer and the word, are spiritual weapons. And then I want you to see the last point and the last component to the mechanism that God has put on earth. Verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Three Christians, Barnabas, Saul, and Mark. We already know Saul's story, right? He was killing Christians before this. He gets converted, and man, he's a total different guy now. So, but what we see here is these three people that have been called by God to be Christians, and God's using them in the ministry. And it says specifically about these, by the way, these are point number three, he's using his workers as a component for, as part of the mechanism for stemming the tide of evil. And that's you. We're looking back at three guys that were in the ministry way back then. Three Christians. And the application for us today is that's who we are. We're the ones that God that God has saved, the word is transforming us, and we're his workers, and he's using them. What does it say about them? It says they had fulfilled their ministry, their service. They were serving God, and they were coming back when they had fulfilled their ministry. And then there was three of them. Right there we see three people, three workers, three worshippers. And this is the reality. It's a lie when we look at the things that are going on around us and say, what can I do? I can't do anything. Well, I can pray. Yeah, you can pray. And you can read God's word and then encourage others with God's word. But ultimately, you're the vessel that God has chosen. That's why we are still here, to then go about the earth and walk in the good works that he's prepared beforehand. And here's what I would say to you. I was tested again this week, and I hope this is okay to do. I'm going to do it anyway, but if it's not, tell me later, and I'll stop doing it. But I feel like we have to take the word of God, and we need to make it tangible to what's happening around us, right? You know what I mean by that? We got to stick to the word, but that doesn't mean we can't talk about what's going on in the world. We need to do that, right, so we can make sense of it. Well, this week, you know that, or this past week, that Sergeant Bergdahl was sentenced He was an enemy deserter. I mean, he was a soldier, an army soldier, that deserted his post in, was it Afghanistan? Is that where he was? Where was he? Okay, Afghanistan. He left his post, and he got captured, and it was for 5 years, and they traded five terrorists for him. Remember, they got him back and everything like that. And so now he's on trial. Well, he was on trial. He pled guilty to desertion and whatever it was, the other thing, terrible things, and could have been facing life in prison. It's a serious thing to leave your post, because then people got to have to go looking for you. And then, you know, I've heard different things about what was the result of that. Some people say some people got killed, people got wounded, whatever. And then how can you prove the resources that you used that were looking for him? They couldn't be somewhere else. And, you know, you know what I'm saying? How do you find, in other words, that's why it's a crime, because a high crime, because it's dangerous to everybody, right? Now, so he apparently, that's what the news said, he could face, life imprisonment. And then it comes out, and I'm sure most of you know that he got no jail time. You know, he served 5 years with the Taliban or whoever those people were. And I got to tell you, I was watching the news, and even in my own heart, I was like, man, you know, what was it? Was that like, you know, I started thinking, formulating why they did that, why they let him off, you know, because of what I'd heard. And I heard people talking about it, and they were upset about it, a lot of people upset about it. And as I was having this conversation, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, don't you like mercy when I'm merciful to you? And I thought, yeah, I do. He got mercy. He didn't get what he deserved. And you can look at the guys that did it. That's between them and God. You know, they're going to have to stand before God with what they did. But we have to, as a culture, as Romans 13 says, we have to. We can, because we're America, we can voice our opinions if we don't like something. We have that privilege. But when it's all said and done, we have to come to the place and say, we have to trust our judicial system. And we have to just come to the point. We can voice our opinions, but we have to say, okay, because you know why? God says in Romans that he put them there. And he said that if you do what's right, you don't have to worry about them. But there's Herod's in there. He'll take care of them. Don't worry. He'll take care of all that. He's in control. But what the devil wants you to do is to tear down the system, because it will cause chaos. The system that God set up in Romans 13, he tells us, right? So what I'm saying is that I was convicted. Like, yeah, it's just like God to give mercy, isn't it? And by the way, you don't deserve mercy. It's a free gift. It's something that, it's a get out of jail card in this case, exactly what it is. Now, I want you to know something, that just for the record, he's not without consequences from this. He made a mistake. And I'm not here to be his advocate. I'm just telling you, he made a mistake. It was a huge mistake. It could have cost lives. The mistakes I've made have hurt people. The mistakes you've made can harm people. That's just reality. But I want you to know that our God is a merciful God. And it's really easy to receive mercy. You know what I mean? It feels good. You know, it's like, wow, oh, thankful. But to give it to somebody else, you know, this guy's going to have to wear this for the rest of his life. People hate him, probably had death threats. Hard time getting a job when you're dishonorable discharge. And he'll be a famous dishonorable discharge. I'm not saying we should feel sorry for him. I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's let God be God, and let's do what we're supposed to do. Let's fulfill our ministry. That ministry belonged to those judges or that jury, whoever those people were. And again, I don't want to judge what he did. That wasn't my job. My job is to recognize, I see God's hand in it. I see, and we need to understand that he's a merciful God, and we need to be merciful too. And because we're his workers, and we are to work in such a way that the way that Jesus worked, if you will, right? The way that he walked the planet. I want you to see this. Colossians 4:17 says this: take heed to the ministry which with you have received from the Lord, in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. 2 Timothy 4:5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Not somebody else's. That's between them and God. But you need to fulfill your ministry. Don't put on Saul's armor. You know what that is, right? When David was going to fight Goliath. David's a smaller man. Saul was a big man. Here's some armor. Here's David. You need armor when you go out there. And he was hindered by it because it wasn't his. It didn't help him at all. It hindered him. In the same way, when you're trying to fulfill somebody else's ministry. You know, one thing with this, because, being a father is a ministry, all right? Being a husband's a ministry. A wife, don't look out there for your ministry. It's what God's put right in front of you. Remember, this wise man gave counsel one time, and here's what the pastor was praying about. You know, he had speaking opportunities to go here, to go there, all around the world, right? He was pastoring a church, but he had these opportunities now to go out and speak all around the world. And he was doing some of this, but he realized that there was a pull on from his family. He couldn't do both. You can't go speak around the world and then take care of your family the same way. Billy Graham. One of the things that Billy Graham said, he's still alive, by the way. I think he's 99 now. But Billy Graham said, if you could change anything, somebody asked him, what would you change? He goes, I would have spent more time with my family. That was one of his regrets. This is what that man said as he was talking to his assistant. And he was saying, I'm torn. I'm torn between, God, it seems like, how do you know God, isn't God calling me to do that? Because the opportunities are coming in to go speak around the world, right? Is that, God is trying to discern the will of God. This is what the wisdom that the guy said. Talking about fulfilling your ministry. He said, look, there are a number of people in the kingdom of God that can go out and speak over there, and speak over there, and speak over there. But there's only one man that can be the wife, the husband to your wife, and the father to your children. Nobody else can do that but you. Isn't that wise? And sometimes we overlook that part of it. Because you have to fulfill your ministry. It's the most important thing to take care of and to grow your family. That is first and foremost the ministry that we have. And so my encouragement is to you is to fulfill your ministry. Fulfill it. By raising your children in godliness, you're helping to stem the tide of evil. When they go out, you're teaching them not to do evil. And you're telling them that if they do evil, there's going to be a bad consequence to that evil. And that is huge. And so, the mechanism, he uses worms. Only God could do that. He uses his word, and he uses his workers, of which you are one, if you're a Christian.
Finding community in a church is such an important part of growing in faith. It's hard to do this life alone, and especially hard to follow Jesus in a hostile and evil world. Walking in faith is made a little easier when you know you have the support of your church family, people who are walking similar roads with similar flaws. As we've learned from this study in the book of Acts, a church is also a great place to put your God-given gifts into service for the Lord. You can build up your brothers and sisters in Christ in ways unique to you. If you haven't found a church to call home yet, we hope you will look for one today. Are you in the Eatontown area? If so, you're invited to come check out the church this program is a part of, Calvary Chapel Coastlands. We meet each Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. to seek Jesus in the pages of Scripture and spend time in worship. We'd love to have you join us as we learn more about our Savior. Find out more and get directions by visiting our church website, cccoastlands.org. While you're on our website, you'll be able to access several of Pastor Bill's past messages, connect with us on Facebook, and download our mobile app to take the messages of Anchored in the Word with you on the go. That website again is cccoastlands.org. That's all for today. Join us next time to learn more from Acts in Pastor Bill's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study. We pray that you would continue to be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.